In Jesus' most agonizing moments before his crucifixion, he commanded Peter, James, and John to watch and pray. Jesus then went on to moments of fervent prayer in the garden. Unfortunately, those disciples failed in their assignment, and Jesus found them sleeping instead of praying. In this study, evangelist Scott Pauley will lead us and challenge us to watch and pray, to pray faith-filled prayer for God to move and work in our generation. Be sure to listen after the study for details about a special prayer resource Scott is making available through this series. And now, let's join Scott Pauley.
Perched high on the wall of the cities in ancient civilization were watchmen, watchmen on the wall. And what was their job? Their job was to stay up when everybody else went to sleep. Their job was to be alert when everybody else was just going about their daily business. Their job was to look out for the enemy. That's why this word watch is so important in Scripture. Remember, Jesus said to his disciples, Matthew chapter number 26, watch with me. Watch with me 1 hour, watch and pray. Watch, watch, watch. It's the word used for the night watchman. I don't know if you've ever been on guard somewhere. Military personnel often have done this. People who've worked in security and first responders up through the night, watching, alert, and they'll understand exactly what I'm talking about. But in our Lord's day, this was really a big deal because enemies would come, lurk outside the wall, and the watchman on the wall was vital to be on guard. You know, we're living in a day where most Christians are asleep. You know what we need? We need some wide-awake Christians. We need some people who've learned to watch and pray. We're living in a day where everybody's just going about their business, doing what they're doing, with no thought that the enemy is at the door. To use the analogy of Scripture, sin crouching at the door, ready to pounce like a wild animal. No wonder Peter said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. So we must look out for the enemy. We learned this great principle today in Matthew chapter number 26. It's a good starting place for this study, and it is this, what we must watch for. What are we watching for? When we say watch and pray, what are we watching for? Well, in the context, we're watching for the enemy. Now, immediately, everybody's mind goes to Judas. I understand that. There are external enemies. We have to remain alert because there are enemies lurking outside of us. That was certainly the case for Jesus and those disciples. There was Judas leading a band of soldiers with swords and staves, lanterns coming like they were hunting an animal, like they were chasing down, trying to corner a common criminal. It's ridiculous, really, because Jesus stood right there and waited on them to come into the garden. He could see them from where he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He could see them coming from the old city. Hear the words of Jesus, no man takes my life from me. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. So they didn't corner him there, but there were external enemies. Just after our passage in Matthew 26, where Jesus repeatedly says, watch and pray, we come to verse 47, and while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, hail, Master, and kissed him. Here's the kiss of hypocrisy, the kiss of betrayal, the kiss of death. Judas kissed the door of heaven, walked away. Sometimes the greatest enemies are the ones who purport themselves to be the friends. The greatest enemies, I think, of God and the gospel are the ones who are religious in nature, who use all the right language, who are so close and yet so far away. There are external enemies, no doubt about that. But this is important. They were not told to watch for Judas. And let that sink in just a moment. Instead of Jesus saying, watch and pray, he could have said, look out, Judas is coming. But he doesn't say that. He knows Judas is coming, but that's not the primary enemy. What was the primary enemy? Now, please don't miss this. We're not just remaining alert, watching because of the external enemies. We have to remain alert. We have to watch. we have to look out for the internal enemies. Did you know that the devil has an inside man? You get an inside man, you've really got a foothold. The inside person is the person that really opens the gate, lets the enemy in. What's the inside man? What's the internal enemy? Well, hold on to your seat. It's painful to recognize and to confess, but it's your own flesh. The greatest enemy I have is me. It's not another person. It's not even the devil. Satan is God's enemy, but my great enemy is the flesh. I think the devil gets a lot of credit he doesn't deserve. And people say, well, the devil made me do that. The devil doesn't make you do anything. You have a choice. Somebody said, well, the Satan and these demons giving me a hard time. Well, that may be true, but the reality is the greatest struggle we have is with ourselves. The person you look at in the mirror every morning. And see, that's what makes it so difficult, because you carry you with you everywhere. It's why Lester Roloff used to say the first thing he did every morning when he got up was jump in the grave. He meant by that, you have to die. The old preacher Harold Seitler said something very similar. He said, every morning, you need to attend your own funeral. In other words, you have to die to self. You have to die to flesh. Reckon self to be dead, indeed in a sin, but alive only to God. This is the whole premise here of watching. The great watchfulness, they were not just watching for the tribulation that was coming. They were watching for the temptation that was already there. I think sometimes when we're talking about how bad the world is, how wicked the devil is, how awful circumstances are, we are distracted from the greatest struggle of all, and that is the struggle in our own souls. Let's back up to the verses previous to Jesus saying, watch and pray, and I'll show you what I mean. Verse number 31, then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. He had already told them. Why would you need to watch, to use the analogy Jesus uses here in verse number 31, because the wolf is coming. We're watching for the wolf. Look, the world is wicked. There's no doubt about that, but your flesh is weak. The spirit truly is willing, Jesus said, but the flesh is weak. And good promises and good intentions are not enough. In fact, in verse number 35, just prior to this, Peter just told him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. You know, we pick on Peter a lot for what he said, but did you ever notice they all said it? To a man, every one of these disciples said, oh Lord, we're with you all the way to the cross. We won't let anybody take you. We won't let anything happen. We'll stay right with you to death. And yet, what did they do? They all fell asleep. Every one of them slept. They all departed and fled for their life. They all, in their own way, denied him. You see, the devil's inside man is your sinful flesh and my sinful flesh, and that's what we have to remain alert to. Look out for the enemy lurking in the shadows of your own mind and desires and conscience and emotion. And when did they wake up? When the mob arrived? When did they finally wake up? The Lord woke them up. You see, the reality is, when they woke up, they were not spiritual men. That's why Peter grabbed a sword and tried to kill a man, chopped a man's ear off. That's why all the rest of them forsook him and fled. Do you know why? Because they weren't in the state of prayer. They didn't at that moment have the mind of Christ. Their heart was not one with the heart of Jesus. At that moment, God's will be done. Only prayer, only watchfulness can do that. So, do you want to be on guard? Do you want to look out for the enemy? Do you want to stay right and live in victory instead of in defeat? It's not that you need to give a lot of attention to the devil. You need to give more attention to putting to death every day, mortifying the deeds of your flesh, and looking out for the enemy that lurks within.
Are you guilty of the sin of prayerlessness? Do you know the mechanics of prayer, the form, the right words, but struggle to pray, to have a consistent prayer life? Scott would like to provide a resource for you that he believes can help create habits of prayer in your life. His resource, 30 Days of Prayer, is available for download on our website, enjoyingthejourney.org, and also in the show notes. We thank you for listening, and we hope you will join us for each lesson from this series. and may the Lord help us as we seek to have a consistent prayer life.